Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fifth Sunday of Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will read the Gospel from St. Luke and hear and discuss the Word of Life for February. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Most Precious Blood Catholic School is an extension of the Church, an exemplary school for pre-K through fifth graders, which helps fulfill the mission of fostering a spiritual life in each individual child, along with academic excellence and physical fitness. Registration is now underway for the fall semester. Why not call 852-4800 and arrange a visit at the campus at 3502 Saratoga Boulevard. The dedicated staff will be delighted to show you around and answer all your questions. Again, the number 852-4800. Most Precious Blood Catholic School, educating our children to know, love, and serve God.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well.
So as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. This is chapter 5, the first 11 verses. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he said to him, "Put out a short distance from the shore." Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him. And likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were the partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, it says in the very first sentence of this Gospel, the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the Word of God. So this was an encounter about the Word.
Yes, it is a very strong part of this whole scene. Jesus, we know theologically, is the Word of God. St. John, in the opening prologue to his gospel, speaks of the Word becoming flesh, becoming real, that in the past, as Hebrews says, God spoke in many different ways through prophets and signs, but in this days, he has spoken to us through his Son. So when the crowd's there, they're attracted, they're listening to his Word, and they're attracted by it. They were pressing in on him, so obviously he needed a little room. Mm-hmm. So he got into a boat, which is not big enough for all the crowds, and spoke from the boat for a while. But, you know, I think what strikes me is the power of God's word. Well, you know, when we speak, our words can either create or destroy to one degree or another. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can say something to someone that can destroy them, or I can say something that can build them up. So whether it comes from love or it comes from a lack of love, our words display who we are, but also display the creativity or the destruction to another person.
And that person remembers, whichever way it was, they remember.
Absolutely, sure. So in this sense, Jesus is speaking to them and obviously building them up, but he wanted to go further, and I think that's the beauty of this gospel. It's not just that he spoke to the people, then that's done. But he's with Simon now, And his words continue, so on a more personal level, with Simon and asking him to put out into the deep for a catch. And Simon says, we've been at it all night, we've caught nothing, but this is the beautiful thing, but at your command, in other words, at your word. Simon obviously had been listening to what was being said to the crowds as he was part of them, and was struck by his words, the power of his words, the meaning of his words, the building up of his words. And so he was willing, in faith, in the words of Jesus and Jesus himself, to push out into the deep, lower the nets, and they caught so many fish they couldn't handle it, so they called their partners to come, and all boats were filled with fish. Now, before this, obviously, as we heard, they caught nothing. They were empty. Now, at the command of Jesus, at the word of Jesus being with them, they, and in their response, in faith, in action, of actually doing what he said, they caught fish that filled both boats. The other thing the other part of this is, what's the response of Peter? It's what we would call adoration. Mm-hmm. He was so struck that he got on his knees, and he knelt down in front of Jesus. Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. When we can encounter the Word of God and we listen to it, we don't just, you know, it's not coming out of memory. It's not something that is a textbook word, but every word of God is the person of God speaking. It's like, you know, even in a family, as I said earlier, words can build up or destroy, but the ones that build us up, we treasure those words. We hold on to those words in the sense that we remember the love of the person that speaks them. You know, I have several that my mother and my father said in my life, and that I treasure to this very day. I remember when I was going to the seminary, my dad, the way he would put us in the car and we'd go for a ride, you know, probably so he didn't have to look at us directly in the eye. So he and I were driving in the car in Austin, and he said to me, if you go, now when you go to the seminary, if it does not work out, come home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a 21-year-old, you know, yeah, but the more I thought about that, especially being in the seminary and, of course, far away from home, not to return for 2 years for a summer break, but those words resounded with me. They created something in me with a bond with my father that was not there before. Mm-hmm. Well, I shouldn't say we're not there, but it has strengthened that mm-hmm. bond to see who he is, mm-hmm. someone who is my real my father on earth and welcomes me home. So that's just a little example. But when we can understand that what Jesus says and what we have recorded in the Gospels is a living word that is spoken to us each time we encounter it. So when Jesus says to Simon Peter, put out into the deep, that's a word for Peter and it's a word for us. There are moments in our life which are difficult. We want to hold on to something secure. We want to hold on to something that we know, that we enjoy, that's pleasurable, and we want to stay where we are. This is a great tragedy today. People want to stay where they are, not realizing that in all things, life moves on, life grows, life with God, everything's creative. And so Jesus is saying to us, in whatever situation I'm in today, you, everyone who's listening, put out into the deep. In other words, look for opportunities to grow. The Word of Life for last month was the Magi saw the star in the east and they followed. That's a risk mm-hmm. to follow, but they were following God. Mm-hmm. And that's what our life's about, is following God. It was like the apostles with Jesus on Mount Tabor at the Transfiguration, and they said, let's create three tents and let's stay here. In other words, let's be static. Let's just stay here. It's so beautiful. We all have those kind of moments mm-hmm. of beauty. Mm-hmm. But let's go down the mountain. So whether it is with the star and then the Magi following a different path, they didn't go back to Herod, they went by a different path. Mm-hmm. Being on the mountain with Jesus, they went down the mountain, although they wanted to stay there. Or today on the Lake Gennesaret, put out into the deep. Go where you really are not sure where you're going. This means faith. This means having our faith in God, that God wants something more of us than just where we are today, because God's never finished in creating something new in each one of us.
You know, I've heard it say, you know, the only constant we have is change. Mm-hmm. And so that's a change to go out into the deep.
Yeah. And change is not a bad thing. Mm-mm. It can seem bad, and it depends, you know, who we're following. There's a lot of things that we could follow which would change us, but it would be a very negative experience, a very horrible experience. But if we have faith and we change according to the will of God, according to the word of God, as Simon did and others have done, in following Jesus, the change is by God's grace. It's not change for change's sake. It's allowing God to develop his plan in each one of us. So it's a tremendously, I won't say spiritual thing in the sense of being abstract, but it's something real in each of our lives that we are each a masterpiece of God. But as Michelangelo chiseled the Pietà and so many other beautiful pieces of art, he was not finished.
Right.
And so God's not finished with us either. And so if we kind of see that we're as far as we'll ever go, because it's comfortable where I am, then we're not allowing God to continue his work in each one of us. And so this command today in the Gospel of St. Luke, when Jesus tells Simon to put out into the deep, he's, I have more I want from you, Simon. I have more I want to create in you. And it was a risk for Simon, but he was willing to take it, and he did.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had mentioned to you before we started the program that a couple of weeks ago, a priest mentioned that this particular Sunday was Pope Francis says to reflect on the Word. And one of the suggestions he asked for us is to read the readings of the next Sunday mm-hmm. and reflect on those so that then you hear the readings while you're at Mass, and then you can read them afterwards to reflect on them, you know. So yeah. It just gives us more of an opportunity to really listen to his Word and understand it and internalize it.
Yeah. No, he's right. It's just such an important thing for us, especially today. We've got so many noises out there, but to pay attention to God's word, receive it, act upon it, and then adore and thank God for it when we see the action of God taking place in our life. We see that here with Simon Peter. After he caught all the fish, they filled two boats. Boats were sinking, nets were tearing. What else could Simon do but kneel down in front of Jesus and adore him as God?
Mm-hmm.
And when we really feel the effect and the beauty, the power of God's word in us, we're the ones then that feel really small. And what we do is to adore and thank God for the power of his word that creates something new in all of us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for February.
It's about 30 minutes from downtown Corpus Christi, 10 miles from Orange Grove, 14 miles from Mathis off FM 624, and it's now taking reservations. The much-anticipated Spirit Center at Blunzer on FM 3088 at FM 666 is now in full operation as a youth retreat center, a Catholic retreat facility which embraces people of other faiths. The Spirit Center, complete in every concept, is set in an environment of natural beauty and peace for the spiritual, educational, and social development of adults and youth. For more information and to make a reservation for your youth group, call Sister Michelle Marie Kuncher at 361-816-6567.
The gift shop at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga, is stocked with a variety of religious items for every occasion. You'll find Bibles, baptism, and wedding items, framed religious art, religious DVDs for the whole family, rosaries, crosses, statues, prayer booklets, prayer cards, and more. Store hours are Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 5, and Sundays a half hour before and after each Mass. A portion of the proceeds benefits Most Precious Blood School.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this is the first Sunday in February, so we have another wonderful Word of Life for us to reflect on this month.
And this is taken from the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, which, of course, is the long chapter that speaks of the bread of life. So it's a kind of a Eucharistic theme. So in that context, then, this word for the month of February that we can listen to, that we can welcome into our lives, that we can try to live out and adore God for his word, the word is, anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. This declaration from Jesus is part of a dialogue with the crowd that was around him. After the miracle of multiplying loaves and fishes, people continued to seek him out and ask for a sign to believe in him. Jesus revealed that he himself is the sign of God's love. Indeed, he is the Son to whom the Father has entrusted the mission of welcoming every creature, especially every human being made in his image and bringing them back to his home. The Father has already taken the initiative and is drawing everyone to Jesus. He has placed the desire for the fullness of life, that is, communion with him and with all fellow human beings, in their hearts. Jesus, therefore, will not reject anyone, no matter how far they feel from God, because the Father's will is not to lose anyone. Anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. It is truly good news. God loves everyone immensely. His tenderness and mercy are directed toward everyone. He is a patient and merciful Father who waits for anyone who, prompted by the voice within, sets out to make their way toward him. We are often doubtful and suspicious. Why should Jesus welcome me? What does he want from me? In reality, Jesus only asks us to allow ourselves to be drawn to him, free our hearts from the clutter that weighs us down, and trustingly welcome the love he freely shares. But it is also an invitation that appeals to our sense of responsibility. In fact, if we experience such an abundance of tenderness on the part of Jesus, we in turn feel moved to welcome him in every neighbor, man or woman, young or old, healthy or sick, from our own culture or not. And we will not reject anyone. Anyone who welcomes me, I will never drive away. In Quebec, Canada, a Christian community that lives the Word of Life is committed to welcoming many families arriving in their country from all over the world, from France, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, and Congo. All of them are welcomed and helped, and this includes support in integrating into their new environment. This means answering their many questions, filling in forms relating to refugee and resident status, coordinating with their children's schools, and accompanying them to discover their neighborhoods. Enrollment in French courses and finding work are also important. Guy and Michelle Wright, a Syrian family that came to Canada to escape the war, met another family that had just arrived. Members of the newly arrived family were very disoriented, so to come to their aid, a true network of solidarity was created, and many friends provided items that were needed, such as beds, sofas, tables, chairs, kitchen items, clothing, books, and games. In fact, it was the children who learned about the plight of this family from their parents, who spontaneously offered the latter. The family received more than they needed and in turn helped other poor families in the area. This month's word of life had come true. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. We can transform this word of God into life by giving witness to the Father's closeness to every neighbor as individuals and as community. A reflection by Focolare founder Chiara Lubick on merciful love can help us. Quote, "This love," she writes, "is the love that opens its hearts and arms to those who are needy and suffering, to those in great difficulty, to repentant sinners. It is a love that knows how to welcome every neighbor, whether friend, brother, sister, or stranger, and forgives many times over, a love that does not measure and will not be measured. It is charity that flourishes more abundantly more universally and more practically than anything the soul possessed before. In fact, in front of everyone we meet, feelings spring up in our soul that are like those Jesus knew. Divine words, not unlike those used by Jesus, appear on its lips. I have mercy on this crowd. Mercy is the ultimate expression of charity. It is its fulfillment. And charity surpasses pain because pain is part of this life, while love endures even to the next. God prefers mercy to sacrifice.
Well, there's a lot for us to think about for this particular Word of Life, like there always is every month. But one of the things that struck me in the beginning and is that that Jesus doesn't reject anyone, no matter how far they may feel from God, because the Father's will is not to lose anyone. And I feel that, and we've talked about this before, that is such a powerful message for people who may have been away from the church and think, oh my gosh, the walls are going to crash down around me if I come back. And that's not true.
Yeah, I think many people, and I know firsthand, have felt rejected in probably rightly so, by something that was, again, said, mm-hmm. That could have been destructive, something that was, their own guilt, and feel a look, even a look by someone can drive them away. But we have to understand that sometimes that happens in a person's life and maybe even in our own. But that what God offers us in Jesus is not more judgment, but more mercy. Mm-hmm. And so it's incumbent upon us as followers of Jesus to be that instrument of mercy, to even change our own way of approaching people. I was reading something this morning in a meditation with some other bishop. We have a Zoom meeting, mm-hmm. and it said that to love your neighbor as yourself, of course, is something we all know, but to know that in loving another person, you're loving yourself. So you're doing to that person what you would want them to do to you. Mm-hmm. Everything we've heard from Jesus, but it's not just, well, isn't that a beautiful thing? I wish I could do that. Go do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times our parents, well, I wish I could go play ball. Well, go play ball. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's something that we live in kind of a world that leaves us so many options that we opt out. Mm-hmm. It's too hard, or I don't want to do it, or maybe I'll be rejected. I know I was number two in the hierarchy of the siblings, and my older brother was a great guy, and he had a great personality, and he was just a friend to everybody. And of course, I wanted to be there. And his group was older than I was. I always kind of didn't fit in, and I would kind of, I think every once in a while, I don't recall everything, but I'd go back. You know, they won't let me play, and go play with them. Just tell them you want to play. You know, it's taking that initiative that we normally don't take, in something that we're not. And this is sad to say, but that we're not certain of. Well, in this, God wants us to be certain of his love and the power of his love, the power of his words, the power of his actions in spreading that mercy to others. And so I think when we hear the Word of Life, anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. And so if I were to approach life today, if we just not think about tomorrow or what I didn't do yesterday, but today, as we hear this, anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. So practice that. If you meet someone that you've never known before, spend a little time with them. Don't just drive them away. Hope they will get on their way so I don't have to deal with them. Or if somebody that maybe I have an issue with comes across my path, deal with it. I mean, you know, don't drive them away. Mm-hmm. A kind word. Can I get out of our comfort zone?
Right.
I hate to use the trite expressions that we have, but it helps us to understand. Don't stay where we are. Be creative. Just say something. I was with a group once, and I could see one person was shy, and so I just asked them to join in and say something. And it was like, I was giving someone permission to be a part, and it changed the relationship. So it's love is creative, and it can create some beautiful relationships. It can create beautiful groups, but we have to be the ones to take the words that Jesus has given us and put them into practice.
I had a very personal example of love of neighbor a couple of weeks ago. On a Sunday morning at 4:30 in the morning, I get a call from my neighbor saying, "Barbara, are you okay?" And I said, "Well, yes." And somebody had been ringing their doorbell and knocking on the door, and he went outside and he was gone, but he headed my direction. And so so I said, "Fine." And then the next day we're calling all the neighbors, and he puts it on the app. But he said to me the next day, he said, "I'm so sorry for calling you at 4:30 in the morning." And I said, "No, thank you so much." You know, that was just such a neighborly and out of love and concern. And then we shared the word with the rest of the neighbors around to keep a lookout for somebody who's trying to open up front doors at 4:30 in the morning, you know, for all of us to make sure we lock our doors. And it was just, I thought it was very thoughtful.
And I think, you know, in a sense, that's easy with people that you know. And I mean, I'm saying that that's still a beautiful thing. But I think, you know, for us as followers of Jesus, he also sought out the lost, you know, the leave the 99 and go to the one. So, you know, it's easy to love those who love you. It's difficult those who are kind of on the margins. And so it's good practice to be neighborly and all these things. And that's great practice. And certainly it's a wonderful to be a part of a community like that. And Jesus sometimes asks us to go out to the one who's not part of that. And because God wants his love to reach every person, and we're the instruments to help do that.
And it can be as easy as a transaction with somebody at a store. Anywhere we go. Well, thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Keep your family safe, O Lord, with unfailing care, that relying solely on the hope of heavenly grace, they may be defended always by your protection through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.